This is Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Clay Masters. Two of the three major party candidates for Iowa governor will square off for their first of three debates on October 10th in Des Moines. I asked Democratic candidate Fred Hubble what he's been doing to prepare. Hubble says he's been approaching the debates the same way as the rest of the campaign.
Making sure that I get a chance to talk to as many people as possible, understand what they think is going well with our state, what can be better, and what kind of changes we need to make to give people better opportunities.
We continue our series of conversations with the major party candidates for governor this morning. Hubble, a retired Des Moines businessman, has faced criticism for failing to release more of his tax returns and not being transparent enough about the sources of his wealth. But Hubble says the criticism is overblown.
We did put out federal information and state information, and it shows what our income was, what our deductions were, what our charitable contributions, and how much taxes we paid state and federal government. And the other piece of information that's out there is we've disclosed in the statewide financial disclosure report every source of income $1,000 on up. So people know where we're getting our income, and they know what taxes we paid, both state and federal, and they know what our deductions are, and they know we're making significant charitable contributions.
Last week, Iowa budget officials released information showing that there was a surplus much larger than they expected, $127 million surplus. You were critical of this in a press release soon after that information came forward. Surplus, that's a bad thing?
No, I think everybody wants to have a surplus. We're required to balance a budget in our state. But, you know, with the surplus being so much bigger than it was supposed to be, on top of mid-year budget cuts, that's not good budget management. That's fiscal mismanagement. We shouldn't have been taking money out of education, out of healthcare, out of public safety, out of our judicial system, and then come up with a budget surplus that was a lot bigger than they thought it was, and they can't explain why.
The Regents universities have been concerned about the level of state funding that they've been receiving. Small increases combined with mid-year cuts have led to this. If you're elected governor, how would you work to try to turn this around, or what are some of the answers you see so that the universities feel more confident in the level of state funding?
So my goal is to properly manage the budget with the right priorities. There's a lot of money in state government that we could be using much more wisely if we stop these wasteful tax giveaways and use some of that money to better fund our region schools and our community colleges so they wouldn't have to raise tuition so fast and students wouldn't be incurring as much student debt as they are. It's really hurting families and it's hurting our communities.
So what more can be done?
Well, it's properly managing the state budget by not continuing to fund the wasteful tax giveaways that we identified back in 2009. We looked at every single credit exemption deduction in our income tax code, identified those that were creating value for the state and those that weren't. The ones that weren't, we recommended reducing them or eliminating them. And the governor and the legislature, Republican leaders in the legislature, have refused to reduce or eliminate wasteful tax giveaways. And we should have been doing it for the last 7 or 8 years.
Another issue that you've made a big one in this election is the privatization of Medicaid. The management of Medicaid in the state was handed over to the private companies back in 2016. You've talked about moving it back under the state control. I'm curious, how do you do something like that without disrupting the care of thousands of vulnerable Iowans?
I'm not making a big deal out of that. What I'm doing is recounting to the public what I'm hearing from people all across the state. It starts with you're right, you don't want to do it too fast because they already are a vulnerable piece of the population. They need to be treated carefully and properly. So we can start on day one, but you can't do it fast. You have to do it gradually and only change over to the new system as people are ready for it and the systems are there so you can do it without creating too much chaos in their lives again.
When we spoke back in June ahead of the primary election, you had mentioned perhaps not just completely returning to the fee-for-service model. You talked about plans in Minnesota, Massachusetts, and Connecticut, ways of managing Medicaid. Have you had time to really look at different plans that would work in a situation like Iowa's?
Well, yes, we have. And what you find is Iowa is one of only two states in the country that moved everything at the same time to a full outsourced managed care operation with three outside companies, the other one being Kansas. And Kansas is a complete disaster. We need to bring it first back under state control so the state has more authority, more responsibility for what's going on. So we need to change the location of the control. I don't want to go to fee for service. It's going to be just like it was before, where the state is in control, but it outsources some of the functions along the way to other organizations. And there probably will be several different groups that we outsource to, because each group of patients in Medicaid are there for different reasons, some for economic reasons, some for serious health reasons, some because they're seniors and they have different issues. So that means we'll probably have different groups that we work with. But in each case, the state will keep control over what's going on.
And how do you know that costs won't balloon even more?
Take what's called the long-term support services group, which is about 40,000 Iowans in our state. You know, they're not going to get better from a medical standpoint. But they do need the support and service to have a quality of life for the duration of their lives, just like anybody else deserves. So let's not be focused on paying 12 to 15% to out-of-state companies for their bottom line when it was only costing us 4 to 5%. There's a lot of money we can save by just better managing the program and not paying so much to some other company's bottom line.
Let's stick with a healthcare issue. You have been strongly allied with abortion rights supporters. You served on the Planned Parenthood board. What can abortion rights supporters expect of you if the legislature were to remain in Republican control, if you were elected governor?
Well, I think everybody wants to reduce the number of unwanted pregnancies. We all want that. And I think some of the laws that we've passed recently are politically motivated. They're not motivated to actually reduce unwanted pregnancies. You see what happened with when they eliminated the funding for Planned Parenthood? The result is 50% decline in the number of visits to family planning services in our state. That's not what we want. That's not going to reduce unwanted pregnancies. That's going to increase unwanted pregnancies. So let's focus on what will help us as a state, the common sense approaches to reduce unwanted pregnancies. And let's make sure that people get access to the health care that they need to be able to make those good decisions.
And would you veto any more legislation that further restricts abortions in the state?
Yes, this law should have been vetoed. It's just an unconstitutional law that's going to take court time. It's going to take administrative time. And it's not going to advance the needs of actually reducing the number of unwanted pregnancies in our state.
Finally, we're about a month out from the election. What are you expecting in the weeks ahead?
I'm expecting we'll continue to travel around the state and meet with a lot of voters and a lot of supporters and try to encourage them to vote. I think the most important thing is as many Iowans as possible should vote. The more people that vote, the better.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Clay. Appreciate it.
That's Democratic candidate for Governor Fred Hubbell. You'll find the full conversation with Hubbell at our website, iowapublicradio.org. We'll talk with Republican Governor Kim Reynolds tomorrow.